Good day. Welcome to the Contracts for Biz podcast channel. Today we'll be unpacking
of poor work performance. It must be emphasized from the outset that this is a very complex process, and it is advisable that you approach an attorney who specializes in employment matters for assistance. I have with me Nicoline Skumanlo to guide us through this process. Nicoline, what does poor work performance mean?
Well, this means that an employee doesn't perform as is expected from him or her. Secondly, that he or she is aware of the required standard of performance. And very importantly, that you've conducted the long and detailed process of conducting poor work performance meetings, had various training and counseling sessions with the employee, and that you've given them a reasonable time frame to improve and to remedy the situation. And despite all of this, that the performance has not improved as is desired. So just to emphasize, Shannon, it is very important that depending on all the factors, the process be followed and not just done in a singular way, and also that the seniority of the person is also considered, as this may then require additional training and counseling, etc. So this is really not a process that takes place in a day, a week, or even 2 weeks. It could often be a couple of weeks.
Nicoline, you mentioned poor work performance. Now, what is the difference between poor work performance and incapacity?
Well, incapacity is when an employee actually cannot perform his or her duties. It could perhaps be related to illness, or maybe not having the necessary qualifications to enable him or her to perform their duties. For example, an employee is a long-distance truck driver and injures him or herself, and after recovering from the injury, they actually cannot drive trucks anymore. It could also be an example where someone is appointed as a fitter or a tuner, but didn't undergo any practical training, which means they're actually not suitably qualified as an artisan at all. So poor work performance is a training or counseling related question, which this should improve once applied, while incapacity is a situation where training or counseling is not going to improve the situation, and usually the alternatives are dismissal or even alternative positions.
Nicoline, you mentioned training earlier. Now, what must an employer do after training, counseling, and poor work performance meetings has been concluded?
Well, a notice to attend a poor work performance hearing needs to be conducted or issued.
And what must be indicated on such notice?
The details of the employee, the reasons why they've been called to the hearings. So you need to detail all previous steps taken, for example, training, counseling, details of these meetings and counseling sessions, as well as a detailed list of everything that was discussed and everything that was imparted during the process, when the hearing will be conducted, as well as the employee's rights during the hearing.
What must then be explained to the employee at the hearing?
Well, the chairperson who will be chairing the hearing will introduce the parties. They will also utilize a document that we often refer to as the official record of poor work performance inquiry. They will, all the parties will be asked to complete their names and ultimately to sign this document. The employees' rights again will be explained to them, as well as the process of how the hearing will be conducted will be explained to all the parties concerned.
What questions must the chairperson ask the employee?
Well, which the employee must clarify their position and job description, as well as that he or she is aware or knows of the required standards that are expected from him or her.
And what questions must the chairperson ask the employer?
Well, the degree of performance standard that he or she expects of the employee for that specific position that they hold, as well as the reasonableness of this expected standard.
What evidence must the employer submit to the chairperson?
Well, as I said, this is quite a lengthy and detailed process. So a documentary evidence of every previous session for training, for counseling, and all the work poor work performance meetings that was held, as well as evidence that the employee is still not reaching the required standard.
Now, what will happen after all the evidence has been submitted to the chairperson?
Well, the employer will be given the opportunity to state his case in more detail. He or she must be specific in regards to the dates and the opportunities provided to the employee to improve his or her performance. It is very important to state clearly that the performance has not improved and specifically as to why this is stated. The employee or his or her representative will also have the opportunity to cross-examine any evidence from witnesses or testimony given by the employer itself. The employer could also call additional witnesses, for example, the HR manager or the employee concerns direct superior, for example. The employee or his or her representative will also be afforded the opportunity to cross-examine the employer's witnesses in the same way.
What must the employee do when he is afforded an opportunity to state his or her case?
Well, importantly, the employee must provide evidence that rebuts or refutes the employer's evidence. This can't be in the form of a blanketed or general statement. It needs to provide accurate dates and factual evidence that his or her performance has actually improved. Be as specific as possible. The employer will be afforded an opportunity to cross-examine the employee as well as any additional witnesses or witnesses as such that has been called. Very much in the same way as the previous process that we outlined, where there would be cross-examination and there would be the opportunity to call additional witnesses and further cross-examination.
And after all the parties have testified, what happens then?
Well, then closing statements, as we call them. This is essentially a statement by both the employer or employee and or his representatives or her representatives, summarizing the evidence or pointing out some key factors that the chairperson must take into account when exercising their discretion or coming to their decision. It is also in the discretion of the chairperson to adjourn the proceedings so that he or she can further consider things before issuing a finding or recommendation.
Nicolene, you mentioned the word consider. What does consider findings actually mean?
Well, the chairperson must decide, based on the evidence from both employer and employee, whether or not the performance has actually improved based on the evidence. Then, based on the evidence, issue reasons for his or her findings or recommendations that he or she tends to make for purposes of concluding the hearing, and then, of course, for purposes of implementation by the employer as such.
What happens when the chairperson decides that the employee's performance meets the required standard?
Well, the chairperson will actually call the parties back into the room and indicate this to them. Then the employee will, practically speaking, be excused from the process and no disciplinary action will follow. The employee must then return to work and, as I say, business as usual.
What happens when the chairperson finds that the employee's performance has not been improved?
Well, the process will be fairly similar. The chairperson will inform both parties and then make a recommendation in the presence of the employee. So the employee won't be excused from the process, but will make a recommendation to the employer as to an appropriate disciplinary step or action or dismissal even.
What may the chairperson then recommend to the employer?
Well, it depends on the circumstances of the case. It could be a disciplinary action, whether a warning, a final written warning, for example, or as far as a dismissal. It could also entail a demotion. In other words, for the employee to perhaps fulfill a different role within the business. It is important to note that this will differ from employer to employer. and from situation to situation. So we cannot really predict what exactly such a chairperson will recommend. Once the recommendation has been made, regardless of what it is, it needs to be accepted by the employer and then implemented. And of course, then the hearing will be adjourned.
Nicolene, what rights do the employee have after the recommendation was made and accepted by the employer?
Well, the employee could potentially appeal the decision or the outcome by completing the necessary appeal form and submitting it back to the employer or his or her manager, or however this is detailed in the relevant HR policies and disciplinary policy within the organization. And if they still remain dissatisfied, they could refer the matter to the CCMA or relevant bargaining council. Thank you for joining us today. For any further information about this legal document or product that we discussed today, please go to contractsforbiz.co.za. Or if you need the services of an attorney, go to skumanlaw.co.za. We'll gladly assist.